Today is the seventh Sunday of Pentecost. It's a special day as we had our music camp performance in the previous hour. I hope many of you got to enjoy that this morning. A couple of quick announcements. The mission market is taking place during the month of July in Reed Hall. This is where our fifth and sixth graders worked hard during their mission week, using their creativity and imagination, and they want to share it with the congregation for a donation. But the donation will be going to our Habitat for Humanity build and for Justice for Our Neighbors. So I invite you to browse out in Reed Hall following the service and take a look at the birdhouses, some pottery, and stepping stones that they made. All very affordable donation to pick up one that catches your fancy. Unfortunately, the all-church lunch that was scheduled for today following this service has been postponed. We're going to do it in late August at our next new member Sunday and invite all of our new members from this morning to attend then if they can. The music camp performance cast is having a party down there this morning, and they deserve it. Let's now prepare our hearts for worship.
Oh, Gather us in, Lord, and hear our prayers.
We have come to this place in need of healing and hope.
Gather us in, Lord, and heal our spirits.
We come here seeking guidance and strength.
Gather us in, Lord, and open our hearts to receive your word.
Open our hearts, our spirits, our souls, to comprehend your word and follow you faithfully.
As we journey to fill the cup of others, we must first empty ourselves of our transgressions and weaknesses. Please join with me in our prayer of confession. Forgive us, O God, when we miss opportunities to be channels of your mercy. Forgive our selfishness when we show mercy only to those we deem worthy. Forgive us when we place conditions on our love toward others. Help us to see people with your eyes and to be moved by your compassion so that we become active and fearless bearers of love. Remind us continually that nothing can separate us from your love. Forgiven and reconciled, let the undeserved gift of grace overfill our cups to help us connect and transform our community through the loving light of Christ. Amen. Open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus, you and I.
pastors. If there are any other children that want to come to the front and join the party, they're welcome to. Guys, I want you to know, this is the largest children's time group I have ever spoken to. This is neat. When I was your age, a long time ago, and from when I was your age until I went to college, and then even after, my parents used to tell me all the time that the choices I make and the things I do when I'm not at home, when I'm out in the world, reflected either good or bad on our family. And I remember very clearly thinking to myself, oh, no, 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 no. Don't put that shirt on my back. I just wanted to be a kid. I just wanted to play and play with my friends and not have to think about all that. And that's kind of what I did. But over time, I began to realize that because I was part of the Feldhacker family, that people associated all of my family with the things I did. So when I did nice things for people, it made the whole family feel good. And when I wasn't so nice, I kind of sometimes embarrassed my family. So what I'm saying is you all are part of something bigger than just yourselves. You're part of a family. And you're part of a church family. And we're all part of God's family. So all I'm saying is when you live your lives, the things you do matter. The things you do can be a great help to other people. So if you have a chance to have a cup of cold water and you meet somebody who's very, very thirsty and you give them the cup of water, it makes God very happy. And it might make you a new friend. And that's what we do in the church, is we take care of people. Is that right? Can I say a quick prayer? Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of these children in our lives. And we thank you for the outlet that they have had in their creativity and expression during music camp. Lord, we ask you to guide us this day and use each of us to provide small acts of kindness like a cold cup of water to those who need it most. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank y'all for coming forward. Have you ever noticed how over time us religious folks tend to make things more complicated than they need to be? Today's scripture is a refreshing reminder of what's really important from Jesus' perspective. He silences all of the noise and all the religious activity to point out one consistently important aspect of the Christian movement. The one thing that has fueled Christianity since Jesus first sent his disciples out in the world is hospitality and welcome. Jesus had a way of cutting through all the rules that we religious professionals try to generate. And he said pretty clearly that true holiness is about loving God and loving others. All others. No exceptions. He proclaims that true spirituality is about doing something, embracing a child, caring for the sick, the vulnerable, the weakest in society, and importantly, welcoming those who are unwelcome. For Jesus, a truly spiritual way of living is simply being willing to provide a cold cup of water on the hottest of days. And it really doesn't have to be more complicated than that. At the end of the day, it's about having a heart that's willing to give to others the same grace, compassion, and unconditional love that we have received. In today's story, Jesus is sending his disciples out in his name to share the good news by teaching and helping in healing every illness and disease, then they're going to need serious resources to pull off a journey of this scope. But Jesus instructed them to go out with only the clothes on their back. No extra tunic, no money, no food. The only thing they have to rely on is kindness from people they don't know, kindness from strangers. Hospitality from others will be their primary resource, and the support that they garner along the way happens only through the relationship that they are forming with other people. I think behind Jesus' instructions to the disciples is a lesson for all of us. That lesson is that hospitality has always been a primary means of grace and one of the most important aspects of being the church. Hospitality is the work of the church, and it's crucial to the advancement of God's love in the world. Because hospitality leads to forgiveness, it leads to healing, it leads to justice, it leads to mercy. And importantly, it leads to understanding. Quite literally, if there were no hospitality, there would be no gospel message. There'd be no good news. So if hospitality is so important, how do we go about practicing it? Apparently, according to Jesus, by doing things as simple as offering a cup of cold water. Really? Seems like a big jump from a cold water to the rain of God's love in the world. If the heart of the gospel relies on hospitality, how can a cold cup of water or any small act of kindness express adequately what's going on? Well, I think the answer is that cup of water, that small act, cracks open the door to a new relationship. And if that door is never opened, friendships will never be formed. Here at West End, we do a pretty good job of welcoming. We want people to know we're glad they're here, but we don't want to be in their face while they're worshiping. So we try to smile, open a door, shake a hand, and then leave people alone to experience what God's doing here. For years, we've had a Bread for the Journey ministry where members of the church bake a loaf of bread, and first-time visitors are invited to pick that up as a small token. It's a warm and wonderful act of welcome for those that God sends us. People have often expressed to me how much that loaf of bread meant to them. It was such a personal gift when they first got here. So welcoming those that God sends here is important, but hospitality and welcome are needed out in the world even more. Jesus didn't instruct his disciples to stay at home and schedule appointments to have people come to them for healing or make an appointment to have their demons exorcised. Jesus sent them out to make house calls and to enter into relationships with people. This past week, I experienced so many God moments. I had the pleasure of attending and participating in a choir tour with my youngest daughter. I went with 85 high school choir members. 85 high school kids. 8 days, we went down the Gulf Coast, making a number of stops, and ended in New Orleans. This group worshiped at least 25 times during those 8 days, and they were phenomenal. They performed in homeless shelters, youth centers, a prison, a number of special needs facilities, a children's camp, at least 4 churches, and even an unplanned impromptu wedding that was on the beach on their afternoon off. That wedding was a great example of biblical hospitality. No planning was involved at all. It was just a joyful opportunity to witness to God's love to a couple of people who were connecting their lives together. And as a result, both the youth in this choir and this couple and their families were changed forever. We're called to be the loving light of Christ, connecting and transforming. hospitality and welcomes about connecting. And then the transforming happens to everyone involved. Another sacred experience took place at a small rural church south of Mobile, Alabama. I didn't even know you could go south of Mobile, Alabama. 5 years ago, this congregation built a new building. Shortly after completion, the church started to experience a division because of this added financial obligation they incurred. And then 4 years ago, this same choir stopped by, did a concert, very worshipful experience, and they poured out their gifts that seemed to channel God's grace to that divided congregation. And the congregation experienced God and a clear message of hope and an awakening to them that this building wasn't a building. This was a sanctuary where God was going to do some amazing things. And they realized that that moment where they experienced God was a milestone in the life of that church. So this time they asked on this tour if we would stop back by to celebrate what God had done through these kids 4 years earlier. The pastor and several members of the church called that event 4 years earlier a true healing, a point of reconciliation, and they went so far as to call it a miracle. So that congregation points to that single day 4 years ago as one of the most important days in the life of that church. It's where they opened their hearts to God's grace and experienced true reconciliation within the body of Christ. To celebrate, they welcomed us with this potluck dinner like nothing I have ever seen before. They had tables down one side of the sanctuary, and then they turned and went halfway across the chancel. And the food was all homemade using many of the things they had grown in their own gardens. And the desserts, well, they're going to keep me exercising for a while. That concert and community meal this past week was a time of holy communion in its truest sense, as they welcomed with great hospitality. They welcomed Christ emissaries, this sunshine choir. And in doing so, they welcomed Jesus Christ himself. And in welcoming Christ, they welcomed the one who sent Christ. Hospitality and welcome doesn't have to be an over-the-top potluck supper. Jesus says it can be as simple as a cold cup of water, or a hug, or a pat on the back. Or one of my favorites is a simple smile. Any of us can do that. When Jesus says, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me," that's a scenario that should inform how we welcome people here at West End. But more importantly, how we seek to order our lives by welcoming people in every other realm. In our story, Jesus is sending his disciples into the world. And the way they treat others influences what people think of Jesus. And when people welcomed the disciples, they welcomed Jesus, because they were part of something bigger than themselves. And they welcomed God. This is a direct call to both welcome others and our willingness to accept welcome and hospitality and care from others. That might be an area that this congregation needs to work on a little. We are more than willing to help whoever needs help. But there's always a reluctance to raise a hand and say, "I could really use a hand." Just like the way things are today, during Jesus' time, everyone was part of something bigger than themselves, a tribe, a separate nation, a different religious tradition or practice. And those differences between groups often stood to define who people were. So a stranger then is either like us or different than us, which translates into they're either for us or they're against us. That's far too common in our world today. Yvette Flunder is a senior pastor of City of Refuge United Methodist Church. She writes, "Oppressive theology, or a theology that welcomes those who fit a normative definition of the dominant culture while excluding those who do not, is a ball and chain on the heart of the body of Christ. And with it, we keep each other in bondage." Hospitality is crucial to the gospel and essential to the kingdom of God. Jesus frees us from having to decide who deserves a welcome and who does not. All we have to do is offer more and more of those simple little acts of kindness. And we offer it to all God's little ones. And in doing so, it changes us. And that's the reward. In her book, Amazing Grace, Kathleen Norris tells the story of a nun. This nun, although she had Alzheimer's, insisted that she be rolled to the door of her nursing home every single day so she could greet every guest that arrived. She no longer had any idea what she was welcoming people to, but hospitality was so deeply ingrained in who she was that it became her whole life. Hospitality isn't difficult, but it does require practice. It's a pattern of recognizing and listening to the needs of others. I find it a little ironic that the basic human instinct is to fear the stranger or to fear those who are different than we are. And that fear has existed right alongside our dependence on other people's hospitality for survival since the beginning of recorded history. And that tension is what makes the Hebrew Bible sense of hospitality, the Hebrew people's hospitality, so unique. They would not allow the risk associated with their fear of a stranger to define their community. Their community was defined by God's hospitality and welcome. Simply because they understood that this type of hospitality was central to the character of God. We recognize that. Our first bedrock belief is that we believe God loves everyone unconditionally. And that tells us pretty clearly how we're called to treat others, all others. We also believe in God's prevenient grace that's working in people's lives before they even know it, creating in them a desire for more meaning in life or to connect or reconnect with a faith community. Maybe just explore a different faith community. Prevenient grace encourages people to step out of their established patterns, to do something different, to visit us, even if they don't know that it's prevenient grace that sent them here. I love this concept. We're welcoming our guests in worship as a way to better honor God because we believe God has sent them. And in welcoming them, we're receiving Christ. And when we receive Christ, we are always blessed beyond measure. It's worth investing a little extra energy and time to get to know those God sends here. Through those relationships, transformation happens, both to us and to them. For Jews and Christians, such hospitality has always been an important part of who they are. And the call to welcome the stranger is central to the Torah. And it's an important measure of a Hebrew community's faithfulness to God. If a traveler came by, it was critical they house them and feed them for the night. It was a matter of faith, and it's how they honored God. And they honored God more than the risk associated with welcoming a stranger. Same sacred understanding of hospitality was very common in Jesus' day. Paul reminds the Romans to offer hospitality to the alien. And in the letter to the Hebrews, he reminds them to show hospitality to all. For in doing so, some entertained angels unaware. As we welcome strangers, new people, An angel is God's messenger. They may have a message for us. That's the reward. Jesus instructed his disciples to accept the hospitality being offered. And in accepting it, they were providing a reward to those who were offering it. They were being blessed. And that reward was in the relationship formed with others through the bond that hospitality creates. Through relationships, there is no more host and guest, no more insider and outsider. There is only that space in which we listen to and learn from each other, where we value and we honor each other, until all of that uneven ground on which we stand becomes level and smooth. So, in lieu of an altar call today, I want to invite you to engage in the life and ministries of this church while you're here and while you're out in the world. You can do that in any number of ways. A great one is in our Bread for the Journey ministries. If you like to bake, we're looking for bakers to make this bread. We could also use a coordinator to help manage the calendar. It's all automated now, so it shouldn't be a lot of work. But that's a meaningful ministry that has lost some momentum. We could use greeters. But also in the world, we're called to offer hospitality through a number of channels. Project Transformation is a fantastic way to honor and welcome children who may not have the same advantages in their education that our children have. And you enter into a relationship with the child during the summer, and you read to them. You teach them to read. Habitat for Humanity is another one. We're developing a transportation ministry to help our seniors who are homebound or not driving, to pick them up on Sunday morning and get them to church as a community. That's a great way to welcome those who are now at a disadvantage. They're more vulnerable. It's a way to get them to church. That's what welcome is. It's knocking down those barriers that keep people from connecting. The list goes on. Look in the bulletin insert. There are 3 pages of opportunities to connect, to practice biblical hospitality and welcome. Thanks be to God. I invite you to stand as you are able and join me in saying our affirmation of faith. It's number 883 in our hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating,
who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, and in life, in the death, and in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. So if you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We hope you will join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following this service. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to stop by the Bread for the Journey table, which John just mentioned, during our fellowship time, where you'll find information about the many ministries of this church and a fresh-baked gift for you. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. The other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please note if these requests are to be shared or are confidential. And the card can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Please also take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the pew pad down the pew if you've not done so already. As the pad is passed back down, please take note of those who you are worshiping with and greet anyone you may not know at the end of this service. This morning, we celebrate that Eden Victoria Zellner was born on July 9th to Victoria Buxton and Don Zellner. She is welcomed also by her grandmother, Anne Woodmore. Our sympathies are extended to the family of Margaret C. Fernea, who died Friday, July 18th. Graveside services were held at Woodlawn on Friday. Also to Laura Lonergan and Julie Rutter, who are mourning the death of their father, Bill Huffstutler, who died Monday, July 21st in Chattanooga. Services were held there on Friday. Among his survivors are Matthew Lonergan and David Rutter, Drew Lonergan, and Zach Graham Thomas and Emily Rutter. Let us prepare now to hear God speak as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord our God, as we sit in quietness, our thoughts are far from quiet. We are wrestling with doubts and fears. We are looking for answers. We are hoping against hope. We are seeking strength, and we are hungry. Your word says the hungry will be filled, and we ask today for you to fill us. Fill us with the breath of life. Fill us with thankful hearts. Fill us with calmness, courage, and most of all, with the knowledge of your presence. There are others we know and love who are ill, and we ask, O God, that you would surround them with your strong and healing presence. Grant wisdom to those who need answers to difficult questions. Grant hope to those who despair and friendship to those who feel lonely. Most of all, O Lord, our God, may we know your love, and may we not lose sight of your constant care. We look to you, O God, to be present in our communities and in our world. Continue to show our church how we can be a part of your welcome in this world, and teach us how we can grow in our faith and become more and more like Jesus. And now we gather all our prayers together, the spoken and unspoken, and pray the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. God's generosity knows no bounds. With this assurance, let us praise God with our tithes and our offerings.
I would like to invite the congregation to be seated as those being presented for membership make their way to the front. Becky, can I ask for your help with the water? We have a great group that is joining today. And it's unfortunate we had to postpone the all-church lunch, but we're going to make sure we invite this group back to the all-church lunch in August, which is going to be a big festive occasion. Stay away. Okay. Let's start with Maggie Lear. Where's Maggie? There she is, the very, very first one. Maggie is going to be joining today through the sacrament of baptism, which makes this a very special occasion, and we're thrilled. Next, I have Ashley Herod. Ashley is down here. And Ashley is transferring from another United Methodist church. And then we have Edward and Mary Lee Hogue. There they are. And they are also transferring from another United Methodist church. Nicole and Tyler Roden. Nicole's coming from a Methodist church, and Tyler's coming from the Baptist tradition. Evan Radish, right here. And Evan is already a United Methodist as well, transferring, and he'll be marrying our own beloved Elizabeth Beale in October, so that's good news. Scott and Lauren Douglas, right here. Scott's coming from the Episcopal Church, and Lauren is already Methodist, so we're glad you're just transferring in. Next, we have Mary Miller and her husband, Gabriel Cross. Gabriel's transferring from the Methodist Church, and Mary Miller is joining today through Affirmation of Faith. Next, we have Bob and Betty de Blasio in the very end. They have been active worshipers with us for years, and they're finally, our calendars have synced up where they're joining the church, so we welcome them. They're transferring also from a Methodist church. And last, but certainly not least, our own Marty Gilbert. Marty has been instrumental in our theater and drama ministries up on the fourth floor, and he is a very smart man, never short on opinions. But they're good, so we welcome you as well. He's transferring from the Methodist Church. So we're going to begin with our baptism this morning. So you can just hang out right there, Maggie, and we'll get this water ready. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is a gift from God, offered to us without price. Maggie, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness and reject the evil powers of this world and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, with Christ's, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Water has always played an important part in the Christian church. Let us pray. Loving Creator, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. We ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and bless and keep Maggie as she receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised in Christ, she may share in God's final victory. All praise and glory to you in the name of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Maggie, I am honored to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lay on hands. Maggie, being baptized through the Holy Spirit, may you be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Great. The United Methodist Church welcomes and honors all Christian baptisms, so everyone up here is a member of Christ Universal Church. So I ask those coming from other denominations a question. Just have to find said question. As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If you will, say, I will. As members of the body, this question is for everyone. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, a congregation called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ through your participation in his ministries? By your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. If you will, say, I will. Great. Will the congregation please stand and join me in welcoming our newest members? Brothers and sisters, members of God's household, I commend these persons to your love and care. I invite you to get to know them and do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and welcome you in Christian love as members of West End United Methodist Church. As members together in the body of Christ, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the life and ministries of Christ's Holy Church. By our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
May the God of all grace strengthen you by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ all of our days. Following the service, everyone is invited to say hello to our newest members out here in Reed Hall as you browse the Mission Week. Plethora of goodies. We're honored and thrilled to have you all. Congratulations. Friends, go into the world as God's beloved people and look for and listen for opportunities to offer those small acts of kindness, even as simple as a cold cup of water. Amen.